Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Oh, I tell you, Bev, it is wet and chilly outside as we do this recording.
Yes, time for a big pot of chili and hot chocolate. And we have to shift gears a little bit from what it was the other day of 80 degrees.
Yeah. And I guess it's going to be this way for a few more days. So it's going to be cool.
Yep. Yep. Ready or not, here it comes.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bev, I tell you, I am just so looking forward to today's interview. And not just for the interview, but getting to know this person, because she's going to be on our board of directors, and I'm looking forward to working with her. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. I just love people in general. So I am so glad you've asked me to participate with Meet the People, because I've really got to know a lot of people I wouldn't ordinarily. So this has been a great program, and I'm looking forward to talking to Tracy also.
Oh, you bet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure and honor to bring on at this time our newly elected Madam State Secretary, Tracy Anderson. Welcome, Tracy, to Meet the People of MCB.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I tell you, Tracy, Bev, I know she just mentioned it, but she and I have just really been looking forward to having you on Meet the People of MCB. I think as we go through the interview here today, people are going to get to know you. So I think that's going to be really important. So what we'd like to do, Tracy, first of all, why don't you share with us a little bit about your vision loss, how it all came about?
Okay, sure. Well, what I suffer from is diabetic retinopathy. And so I've had diabetes for about 20 years, almost 25 years. When I turned 50, which was a few years back, things started happening and started happening quickly. So I lost the vision in my left eye first. I also suffer from glaucoma as well. So I lost the vision in my left eye first, about 2018. It started to just fading, and it wasn't funny at the time, but I went to my eye doctor and I said, yeah, I'm not really getting much light from this eye. Can you give me a shot or something? And she was like, no, like, no, we can't bring it back. And I really was in disbelief. I said, you can't do something. So she said, no, well, for the left eye, no, but for the right eye, I still had sight, so I could see, and I was doing everything I thought I could do to preserve the vision in my right eye. And then that started to fade a little bit as well.
Do you have any residual vision remaining?
No, right now it is just foggy, kind of cloudy. And I have a little light perception. So sometimes I can see the light coming through a window and be able to tell that that's on. Sometimes I can't see a light directly in front of me. So it depends on the day, I suppose, and what's going on with my retina at the time.
So how was it for you, Tracy, adjusting to your vision loss? Was it a pretty dramatic situation for you? How did you adjust to it?
Well, it was devastating. I was in total disbelief for a very long time. I didn't want to believe that I wasn't going to be able to see again. and that something couldn't be done. I held out hope for a really long time. In 2021, I had a surgery on my retina, on the right eye, and that was supposed to reattach the retina, and it didn't quite go like it should have, because I could see better before the surgery than after the surgery. Well, I could see better after the surgery for a short period of time, but it gradually got worse. It was devastating. And it was me at first being afraid of facing it. You know, what if I won't be able to? And then it was, okay, now you're going to have to accept this. And that was not easy. And I was trying to manage as best I could, but I felt like I was going to need help. So I started to seek out different groups that could, you know, help me with dealing with it, trying to not slip into like a depression, despair, and totally giving up. So I started calling around, and I spoke with someone from MCB that led me to Agape.
Okay, good. Very, very good. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Tracy, you just mentioned your age there just a moment ago. And, you know, if somebody was to ask me, well, how old is she? I mean, your voice, I would have said somewhere, oh, I don't know, she's probably in her 30s. So I don't mean to embarrass you about that, but your voice just sounds so much so young. So anyway, so all right, so
I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And I agree. Oh my gosh, when she said she had grown children, what? When'd you start at 10?
No, and I, you know, when I was younger, I used to say, I'm going to age gracefully, and I'm never going to lie about my age. And then when I got older, I was like, okay, I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm not going to say what it is unless somebody asks. So I'm 56, and okay. I'll be 57 next month.
Okay.
I have three children. The oldest is 32. And then I have a 24-year-old and a 22-year-old daughter. So two girls and one boy in the middle.
Okay. And are they married? Do you have any grandchildren?
I have no grandchildren yet, and all are single right now.
Oh, okay. Well, expand that a little bit. Do you have any brothers, sisters?
I am, that's complicated, but, I was raised as an only child. So, I am my mother's only child. Okay. My father had another family. And so, but I don't keep in touch with them.
Okay. All
right. And my father has passed. So.
Oh, okay. All mm-hmm. right. And your daughters, do they all live close by?
I have one daughter, the oldest one, the 32-year-old, she lives in California. And my two younger children are in Chicago still. They've lived there, I lived in Chicago too for about 10 years. And my kids went there, they were kind of young, in their grade school age. But they decided that Chicago was their home, so they have stayed there. But I came back to St. Louis in 2019.
Okay, so where you say you came back to St. Louis, was St. Louis originally your home?
Yes, I am originally from St. Louis.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Bev here just real quickly. But before I do, share with us a little bit about your education. Did you go to college anywhere? Where did you go to school?
I went to college down in Springfield at Missouri State University. And when I went there, it was called Southwest Missouri State. So that too might give away my age, because I think right when I was graduating, they changed the name to Missouri State.
Yeah, they did. I remember that. What was it that drew you to Missouri State or Southwest Missouri State?
I wanted to go there. I wanted to experience living away from home, you know, just being a little independent and going away to have that dorm college experience. So I thought Springfield was still in state, but far enough away to kind of experience that.
Okay. And what was your major?
Communications.
Oh yeah. All right. Excellent. All right.
I wanted to be like a news person, but they always say, "Oh, your voice is too squeaky. No one will pay attention to you." So I said, "Well, okay, I'll think of something else to do."
Oh no.
I tell you, Bev, just listening to her, she sounds so sweet and just accepts things as they come and just, you know, doesn't get upset about anything. It just Well,
yes.
I'll tell you, I'm going to turn it over to Bev because I just love listening to Bev ask her questions. So, Bev, you can just go right ahead.
All right. This is such a joy to talk to Tracy. And we're going to learn so much about you, Tracy, with this. And I can't wait to get to know you even more beyond Meet the People, being a member of the board and just everything that I know you can bring to Missouri Council, the vitality and positive, and communication is great. But I don't think your voice is too squeaky for the radio.
Not at all.
Now, here's the big question. Cardinals or Cubs?
I am a Cardinals fan. And as a matter of fact, when the Cardinals and the Cubs were in the championship together, me and the two younger kids, we got our Cardinals jerseys and we wore those in Chicago. So we stand out like a sore thumb, but that's okay. We were like, we are Cardinals all the way.
Yeah. All right.
I love it. And I love it that the kids are still, even though they live up there, boy, I give praise to them for standing up to the Cubs.
Right. Oh, sorry.
I have a dear, dear friend back in Illinois that, she is such a Cub fan through and through. And it was actually her dad that brought us with our Sunday school class from church to St. Louis to watch the. He was a Cub fan, though. You know, I didn't realize it at the time we were coming because they were playing the Cubs. I wanted to go because it was a Cardinals. So, but we still tease each other. We'll call each other, "Did you hear that one?" You know.
Yes, no, I never gave up my loyalty to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. What school did you go to, Tracy?
Well, I went to, how far back do you want me to go?
Oh, well, growing up, the high school question, you know.
St. Louis high school question. I went to a school called Rosary. It's a Catholic school that was in Florissant, or Spanish Lake, I guess, is actually the technical city or township. But I went to Rosary. Then it changed names to Trinity. I think it's closed now. And then from there, I went down to Springfield.
Okay. Yeah. So coming back, you so many people to reunite with, too. And I'm sure you've made some really good friends in St. Louis and Chicago. So you got the best of two worlds, really.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I went to Chicago in 2009 and came back in 2019.
Ah, all right. And what do your kids do? Are they working in Chicago? And you said you've got one in California, right?
Yes. My daughter that's in California, she works for Paramount Pictures.
Wow.
She does publicity. And then my son, he's 24. He works for a solar company. So they put solar panels on homes.
Yeah.
He's a in project management. And then my youngest daughter, she just recently graduated. All three of them graduated from college, but the youngest one, she recently graduated this year in May. She has a job for a logistics company in Chicago.
Oh, wow. Wow. You've got to be very proud of
Oh,
them,
you
and I'm
bet.
sure they're very proud of their mom too. You
Yes,
know,
I'm very proud of.
did they inherit any of the diabetes situation too?
Well, actually, when I came down with it, I was pregnant with my son. He's the middle child, so he's a. I came down with it then, but fortunately, right now, no, none of them have any traces of diabetes, which I'm happy for.
Good.
And they also are very much, which I did later in life, but they're very much into like health, watching their health, watching their diets, and trying to eat right and exercise. A lot of things I didn't do right. So maybe they learned what not to do. just how things went for me, so.
Well, good. Yeah, we have to hang on to what we do have instead of what we don't have, and
You bet. You
I
bet.
think that
Yeah.
really helps.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Chip.
So tell us, Tracy, a little bit about your work history. When you graduated college, what kind of work history have you experienced?
When after college, I went to work for AT&T, and I started out just doing like customer service on the phone. I did that for a few years, and then after that, I was promoted twice, and I was in management. And from there, I worked with a business team where we, and this was back in the 90s, so where we worked on the website, the corporate website. And back then, the early days of websites and e-commerce, I worked on a business development team that was in charge of shutting down all of the random rogue websites that were out there that were just operating on their own. And we had to put together like a standard for the corporate site so that it would be one website, not 50 little websites, and one main website with various departments and pages from that site. So we had to do that. We also had to, AT&T sold fiber and also equipment, phone equipment like telephones, conference phones, office phones, and had the long distance and phone service. They were split up again, and then I went with the part of the company that became known as Lucent Technologies at the time, and Lucent Technologies took the fiber. So when we split off from AT&T and went over to Lucent, we developed our website so that our distribution partners, like Anixter was one of them, they bought large amounts of fiber and they sold the fiber for us. So we had to customize our website so that they could place large orders for fiber. So I was on that business team. After that, I had children. So I did a lot of my work around kids. There's a big gap between the oldest child and the two younger kids. So when the two younger ones came along, I was at a point where I needed to. I had two children that were close in age, so I took some time off, and I started selling real estate. And my father at the time had a real estate company that was here in St. Louis, and I worked for him, learned how to do all the contract negotiations and things like that. And it was quite interesting. I did not sell real estate in Chicago, though. By the time I moved to Chicago, I was just working for Comcast, the corporate technology company there. And so it's just been like a whirlwind of different things, but mostly I was trying to work, take care of the kids, move to Chicago from St. Louis. I spent a lot of time trying to just focus on the family as opposed to myself. So in Chicago, I did some sales work, selling the internet and phone service, also television service products, such as that, mostly talking to residential customers.
All right. Boy, I tell you, Beb, just listening to her talk there, I could just see what a value she's going to be to our board of directors and to MCB. So it's going to be great. Yeah.
And she used the word team. She's a team player. And that's what we need. So
you bet.
I love it, Tracy.
Ah, you bet.
And we're going to keep you busy if you want to stay busy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love what she was saying about her family, taking care of her family. Her family gets first priority. Oh, you bet. Yep. Yeah, yeah. So, Tracy, then you're not working at the moment?
No, I haven't worked full-time for a few years, really since the vision impairment. And I also, you know, suffered an illness at the time of my eyesight starting to fade, starting in 2018. And with that happening, I decided I was just going to focus on, you know, my quality of life and taking care of myself, and not being, you know, well, trying to avoid stress. But I am staying busy, though, with Agape. And I'm not afraid of being working hard or being stressed, but I just kind of like to be able to take, you know, my time to do certain things. And so I have chosen not to work full time right now. And I still have, my health has been good for the most part. I do have some moments when, you know, I may not feel well, but for the most part, I maintain a good diet and try to stay well.
Oh, that's great. So good for you. I'm going to turn it back over to Beba. I got another kind of a question for you. So do you live alone?
Yes, I live alone right now.
And so for you as someone who is blind, visually impaired, do you use a lot of technology in your home to help with your independence?
Oh, good question. Yes. Well, when for years I was living in a family situation and I had lots of people around me. And when my eyesight started to go, I had to figure out quickly how I was going to do everything, how I was going to maintain my independence. Then I decided to live alone. My kids, you know, live off and they're doing their thing. So that's fine. But I use the technology on my phone a lot. I use screen readers and voiceover. I have a Alexa app or Alexa Fire Stick on my TV so that I can find television programs. I cook with an air fryer, which is a lifesaver. I don't really cook anymore per se, so it's mostly warming up something.
That's,
you know, not recipes and measuring and all that stuff. No, I don't do that. But I use the air fryer and it's been such a lifesaver.
Yeah. I've got one too that I use and boy, it works wonderfully. It's marvelous. I can just throw a couple of chicken patties in there or some fish sticks or whatever it is that I want. Mm-hmm. And does a great job. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Bev, I know you got some more questions.
Oh my gosh. Yes, just hearing Tracy talk, it's okay, we got more questions here for you. And I love it, Tracy. Yeah, I've got the air fryer too, and yeah, living alone, it is a little different than doing a full meal every day for a family. Mm-hmm. And so that air fryer really helps. But I've got grandkids coming over tonight, and so we're going to go back to just having some sloppy joes and french fries in there, and mm-hmm. and of course they want to make cupcakes, and yeah, the kitchen will get used when they're 12-year-olds, and they're going to want to decorate. Yeah, my kitchen will be a mess tomorrow, but that's all right. This is fun. Family comes first. You know, my daughters were 3, 6, and 10 when I lost my sight. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have time to sit around and have any pity party, just get up and go, figure out how am I going to do this. Mm-hmm. Your youngest then was what, maybe 16, 17?
Yeah, she was around 17 or so in high school, about to finish up high school when I was going through most of my vision problems and my illness and whatnot. And it's true, you know, once you lose your sight, it's not only hard on the person, but the family has to adjust quickly also to yeah. How do I help you, and what does that mean, and it's like don't grab me that way, you know. You have to kind of train them as you're learning and figuring out things as well.
Yeah Or don't leave that door open, you know, push right. the chairs in, you know, or
right.
who moved the milk?
Exactly.
So let me jump in here real quick, Bev.
Yeah.
Tracy, did you get any kind of rehabilitation training, like with being able to do things independently around the home, or any kind of cane travel or any type of rehabilitation training?
I did get some mobility training through rehab services, which has helped a lot. They gave me some tools and things to use that helped me with my independence. I got cane training to walk around outside. At first, I didn't want to use a cane, which I don't know what I was thinking, but I was like, I don't need it. I'll just hold on to somebody. Until that person makes you trip over something, and then you go, okay, now I see why I need a cane. So, but yeah, so I got mobility training, and I learned to use the cane, and that really helped with independence, so that I could walk outside comfortably alone if I needed to, get in a ride or go somewhere and not feel afraid of what might happen, or you know, how would I do that without somebody, you know, holding on to somebody. So yeah, I did have that kind of training. And as far as they didn't really too much help me around the house. I live in a small apartment right now, so I can get to everything that I need to get to. But just being independent was so important to me, to be able to do things myself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So with the diabetes, do you have the sensitivity in your fingers to read Braille?
Well, I don't have neuropathy or anything right now. I can still feel things, but I have not tackled Braille yet. Okay. It's just one of those things I haven't really dived into currently, but I've just put it off a little bit. Instead, I've been using technology. I've been using like Seeing AI to read things, voiceover and things like that. So I've chosen to do technology over Braille.
Oh, okay. Sorry about it, Bev. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Cause intermingle our conversation here is great. Yeah. And Tracy, was starting to learn Braille the same time my daughter was learning to read print, you know, mm-hmm. so she started reading faster than I was, you know, but there are a lot of adjustments, and I would love to have you join us on the peer support call that we have the third Monday of each month, using the conference line, and we all can share with each other and learn from each other, and I just think you'd be a great participant with that, and we just help each other.
Right.
And what I always tell people, what works for one may not work for another. So there's no definite right or wrong, but we give suggestions and ideas. So I would love for you to join us. And oh, also ATI, I would love for you to join the ATI special interest affiliate. You know, we do meet the third Thursday of the month on a conference call, and have different topics, you know, coming up. Linda Cocovizzo is going to talk to the callers about, with Christmas coming up here, shopping online and the how you can do that. I know some people are hesitant to do that, but do you do any shopping online?
Oh, let me see. I do grocery shopping from my an app, and mostly that's about. Oh, and I use Amazon. Yeah, so I do use those apps and things. That works out pretty well with screen reader.
Yeah, you know, and I've my daughter's talked about just getting something off of Amazon, and usually I call one of them because they have the Amazon Prime and they can get it for me. I can give them the credit card and they can mail it right to my door instead of theirs, you know, mm-hmm. so that's worked. So I told Suzanne the other day, I said, I need to learn how to do Amazon. She goes, oh, no, you don't. No.
Well, I would say, you know, I was relying on my kids to help me with ordering things. And then, you know, they're busy, they're working, traveling. I said, you know what, I'm going to figure this out. So I sat down one day and I started just, I needed their help to put my credit card onto the account. But once I got the account set up, I've been able to go in and search for items, put them into my cart, and then have them delivered to me. So that's been very helpful. And that's the same way that I learned how to grocery shop. Grocery shopping was like a nightmare to me when I couldn't see. And I was like, either I would be standing there and I go with my mother, and I would be standing there and she'd say, there are people waiting, come on. And I'm like trying to put my wallet into my purse or something, and I'm like, they can wait, you know, why can't they just wait a few seconds, you know, while I get myself situated? So I said, all right, you know, I said, you know what, I'm gonna just order groceries. so that I don't run out of things, I just place my own order, and I don't have to worry about whether I've forgotten things, because I typically do forget things, but that's okay, because then I just place another order and I get what I need that way. I feel like that's very convenient. And that too, along with the air fryer, has been a lifesaver.
Yeah. Amazon shopping online and air fryer. What else do we need?
Right.
Oh, shoot. My gal just perked up here. Oh, dear. What did I just order? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. This is so much fun. I really enjoyed this, Chip.
Yeah, me too. I love it. Yeah.
Communication. Okay. Are you ready for the secretary job with the board? And we're all there to help and answer any questions for you too. And they're a good group, Tracy.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, and I'm looking forward to it. I sat in on the last meeting just to get an idea of how it flows, I'm ready. I can't wait to meet everybody.
Sounds like Chip that she gets running as soon as her feet hit the ground.
Oh, you bet. That's what's exciting. Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. And what hobbies do you have, Tracy?
Oh, I like, right now, I like listening to podcasts and music. And I used to really enjoy movies, but I do turn on the audio description, but sometimes it's not on some of the movies, but when it is on, I enjoy that. A lot of times, though, I'm so busy. I've been busy with Agape doing, you know, various things. So I haven't had a chance to really pay attention to movies. But and that's really what it needs, or what I need, rather, is to just pay attention and sit still for a minute.
You have trouble sitting still? Imagine
right.
that.
Yeah, and then the phone's ringing or there's something that has to be done. So, yeah, other than that, it's all good. I'm happy.
Oh, good. Chip, your turn.
I tell you, Tracy, you mentioned audio description, and what a difference audio description makes for those of us that are blind and visually impaired. When I can sit down, listen to a TV program or a movie and it's audio described, otherwise so much of it, we're just kind of at a loss. That's what's transpiring on the screen. So yeah. I love audio description.
Right. And that's also been one of those things that when I was facing the thought of not being able to see, and there were so many frustrations that I had and, you know, that I encountered. And after joining, you know, MCB and other groups and Agape, especially, they helped me so much with like the different resources and technology that was out there that could help me, you know, could help assist. I did not know certain things even existed before, because it hasn't been that long, you know, since I really had to deal with the loss of sight in both eyes. I thought, my goodness, I didn't know you could do that. And it's so great that you can, that you don't have to feel like you can't do these things when other people, you know, are able to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, you bet. But Tracy, as we've mentioned, you were just recently elected as our Madam State Secretary, and we're just so happy and delighted about that. But I also know that you're the current Secretary for Agape. You've talked a little bit and shared with us just a tad about your involvement with Agape. Go back just a little bit and let us know, how was it that you began to get involved with MCB and with Agape?
I got involved just, well, first I started off like involved with Society for the Blind, but then I didn't feel like they were meeting what I needed at the time. That's how I'll phrase it. And so when I came to MCB, MCB said, you know, contact Agape. And I said, okay. And they were just great, because being that they were local here, they reached out to me and made me feel welcome and let me know that, you know, it would be okay. And that's what I needed to know, that, you know, with my vision loss and struggling to do certain things, coupled with wanting to live independently, they let me know that I would be able to do that. And so I started to, from there, getting more, I decided to get more involved and helping out with different things. And we started doing various activities within the group to help other members and people dealing with the vision loss and manage and continue to thrive independently. So yeah, I'm really happy that I found this group of people, you know, that understood and that MCB was there to also help with those resources and, you know, programs that can help people.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Now, I also know, Tracy, that you're also serving on the MCB Transportation Committee. Are there other things within Agape or with MCB that you're doing that maybe you would like to share with folks?
I am on the Transportation Committee with Robin Wallen, and she's the chair. I'm also on the Smart Transportation Group. It's a St. Louis Metropolitan Alliance for Reliable Transit. I call it transportation, but a reliable transit as it relates to our public transit system. I belong to those advocacy groups because of trying to make things better for the visually impaired and making sure we have a voice, making sure our voices are heard, and change and improvements are made that can help us along the way. With Agape, I'm a secretary, and also edit a newsletter within our group. We also have a peer support group within our group. So I lead that. And let's see, I work on other committees within Agape as well, and help to write policies and procedures and documents for the group, send out communications, keep everyone informed, or at least try to. And yeah, that's pretty much what my involvement is.
Okay, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
And I want to say also that I did not join with the intention of running for office. It just kind of happened in both cases. So, you know, it wasn't that I just really necessarily wanted a leadership role, but I felt like there were certain things that I could do and I was willing to help.
Oh, I love it. I really love it. You know, Bev, just listening to what she just said there, you know, now we have Treva Patton, who is our newly appointed, approved MCB Policy Committee chair. And with you and Janelle on there, maybe we, and Brian, we can't, maybe we ought to get Tracy involved with that as well. Get her, because with her experience, I'm sure she would have a lot to offer along those same lines. So,
she would.
Yeah.
She would.
Yeah.
And I love it when our members just step up and say, I think I can help here, you know, because we don't know what the abilities are of every member, you know, but we need to hear from the members too of what they're interested in and get them plugged in areas that they would shine in. So
yep,
Tracy's going to shine.
She definitely is. She definitely is. Well, Bev and Tracy, we don't have a whole lot of time here remaining. Boy, I tell you, Bev, I wish we could spend a lot more time. I'm loving this so much this afternoon. We're recording this on a Saturday afternoon, and I'm just so much enjoying this. I'm really excited about getting to know Tracy more. But with just the short time that we do have remaining, Bev, do you have any final questions that you would like to ask Tracy?
Oh, I'm sure I'll think of it as soon as we hang up. But I've got your phone number, Tracy, now. So I might just call you and just a friendly call.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Anytime.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you then, Tracy, Have you gotten acclimated very much with a lot of the services and programs that MCB provides? And is there one service or program that you've been able to experience and have found favorable?
I have not gotten too acclimated with many of the programs, but I would love to, you know, find out more and become more involved. I have primarily been focused with the local affiliate. So, yeah, I would love to find out more.
All right. Well, there you go, Bev. That
yeah.
You can give her a call and tell her all about MCB and what we can do for her. So.
Yes, and I'm interested in the Agape peer support call, because I'm always trying to come up with topics, you know, and oh gosh, we all just need to work together. So yeah. I love it, Tracy.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our peer support call meets twice a month. And once a month we just have like a group discussion, and the other time we meet, we invite someone in to share a story. And we've had some pretty interesting people to come in and speak to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. I think people, after hearing this edition, will get to know you a lot better, and I think that's always so important. So thank you so much mm-hmm. for graciously consenting to being our guest here today.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Oh, it was a blast. I enjoyed it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody, and we'll look forward to our next interview here on Meet the People of MCB. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.